Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.
Joining us this morning, we've got Dr. Ntshikelelo Breakfast. He's from the Center for Security, Peace and Conflict Resolution at Nelson Mandela University. And we speak to him in wake of the South African National Defense Force confirming the deaths of another four soldiers in the Democratic Republic of Congo, bringing the total to 13 in the last week. Doctor, thank you for your time. Let's recap a little. The SANDF are in the Congo as part of the United Nations Stabilization Mission. Peacekeepers, for want of a better word. What is their objective? Who are they fighting?
So, under normal circumstances, peacekeeping missions are meant to maintain peace. So there's a difference between peacekeeping and peacemaking, because peacemaking is when you want to bring to an end a conflict through a negotiation. You want to bring all the parties at the table and make them to discuss a particular issue or resolve a particular conflict. But peacekeeping is when you are maintaining peace now when there has been a conflict. But the argument has always been that you can't maintain peace if you don't address structural problems like inequality, poverty, and so on. So our military is the extension of politics. It supports our foreign policy. So our foreign policy comes from the constitution. It stands for human rights, rule of law, democratization, development, and so on. So our military has always supported our political objectives of making sure that there is peace and stability on the African continent. Because the thinking is that if you have peace and stability, then you won't have a problem of people coming to South Africa illegally from other countries because of insecurities or because of instabilities. But South Africa has been involved in the DRC since 1996. And also, it was a player that brought about an end to the government of Maputo Seseko in the early 2000s in that Pretoria Accord agreement. You saw Kabila taking over, and then he passed away. His son also took over. I think at the moment is the Chinsedi. Now, the challenge is that because of the political dynamics and the evolution of the conflict in the DRC, at the moment, South Africa has been asked to assist in the DRC by SADC. So the mandate they are carrying is different from the one of the UN. There has been a time when we had to carry the mandate of the UN in terms of peacemaking and peace building. So I think I just need to clarify that the mandate that they're carrying comes from SADC. Yes, okay. So there have been issues, though. Issues of you see, our military has been affected by fiscal challenges because, in fact, our security apparatus, our security architecture. What do I mean by that? The police, intelligence. As you know, that many departments have been experiencing austerity measures. So that means that and security has not been prioritize. It's quite unfortunate because South Africa has been behaving like, I would say, the United States of Africa, right? It wants to be like a big brother because it believes that it is a hegemonic force on the African continent. But we need to appreciate the strong nexus between security and development. If you want to play a developmental role, you want to promote peace, stability, development, you also need to pop out enough money into your political missions. And South Africa has not been doing that because, I mean, yes, there are good things that you must remember the Defense Force, its posture since 1994 has changed. During apartheid, our Defense Force, as you might know, it was offensive, but at the moment it is defensive. We are maintaining peace, as you said. We are involved when there are disasters domestically, even on the continent. But I think our leaders, in particular politicians, because you must remember, you know, the theory of CMR, which is civil-military relations, that the guys in uniform, they abide by orders of the guys out of uniform. So the political principals are the politicians. But I don't know whether is it because our politicians don't understand the do's and don'ts of the armed forces or the ins and outs, but I don't think that they take the defense force seriously. Our defense force is broken. Our leaders are presiding over a broken defense force.
But doctor, if we are broken, what are we doing in the Congo with a broken defense force then? There are lives at risk.
Of course. That's a $1 million question. And in whose interest are we there? So these are some of the political questions that are not being answered by the guys out of uniform. You know, because if you ask, the senior officers in the DOD, which is the Defense Force, they won't give you the answers because those are not decisions made by officers. The chief of SANDF, I'm talking about now, the president now, the chief of the SANDF is the one that gives orders.
Sure.
And I just think that our leaders are letting down our defense. I don't want to blame the leaders in uniform like your generals.
I understand. You're pointing the finger at the political leadership. Doctor, who are the M23 rebels? Why are we fighting them? What do they want?
So it's the Congolese. But I think you are quite familiar with the situation there. So what had happened, there was a genocide in Rwanda.
Sure.
Between the Tutsis and the Hutus.
Yeah.
And then the Tutsis left some of them. They walked out of that country. And then they went to the DRC. So the M23, it's the Congolese who purport to be protecting the rights of the Tutsis. But you see, the dynamic at play here is that this is a very protracted conflict. It's a complex matter because you also have international players who have an interest in the minerals of the DRC.
Okay.
But at the same time, I don't want to put the blame on the West only, because that will be irresponsible, right? Even our leaders, even the some of the Congolese are also at fault by playing into the hands of people who have an interest in the minerals of the DRC. I think President Ramaphosa of late has been quiet because he is engaging in bilateral talks behind closed doors with President Kagame
of Rwanda. That is my next question, Doctor. Are diplomatic solutions not being pursued? You say that we've been in the Congo in one shape or form since 1996. We've got to be careful. We're not there on a never-ending basis. Are diplomatic solutions being pursued?
No, of course, you are right. A mission, it has a beginning and an end. So now some people, I do a lot of work on the security, peace and so on. And I talk to a lot of senior officers. They say, I was talking to some of them who are on a retirement, who have stayed there on a deployment. They're telling me that conflict, it's practically impossible for it to come to an end because there are people who are benefiting both locally and internationally out of it. So we're talking about a protracted conflict, a deep-rooted conflict. And when is the conflict going to come to an end? What is the way out? I think there is a way out in terms of bringing... for instance, if there is information that has been intercepted by intelligence operatives that the government of Rwanda is involved, what is the AU doing about that? What is the SADC doing about that? Why not suspend that member? What are you doing about that? Those are the necessary steps that you can take if you want to de-escalate the magnitude of the conflict, or if you want to do away with that conflict. But the conflict has been running for a long time, covering the period of, since time immemorial.
Doctor, there are allegations that the SANDF are not adequately resourced. You mentioned austerity measures being a factor a little earlier. We've lost 13 soldiers during the course of last week. At what point do lives begin to outweigh financial considerations?
Well, if you look at our philosophical outlook on security, I want to argue and say that when you talk about security, which is the work that lies at the heart of the Defense Force, The question that begs is, whose security are you talking about? Mm. If you say national security, is that the security of the elite? If you say human security, then you would argue and say that the security of South Africans or individuals. So the question is, in whose interest are we there in the DRC? And we have challenges, even challenges of ill discipline of some of the members of the DOD in uniform, challenges of lack of resources that are allocated to our soldiers. And no wonder we were found wanting. And condolences to the families who lost their loved ones.
Sure.
But it looks like this tension is going to escalate, in my view, because I'm sure you've been following what is happening there, that Anthony Tree now is taking over Goma and the airport. And so you can see that the conflict is getting worse.
Should we stay or should we negotiate an exit and a withdrawal? What do you think the smart move is here?
You see, some people say if we withdraw our armed forces there, then we will be giving in to the demands of M23 and we will be making our country to look weak. Now, how are we going to gain respect on the continent if we cannot stand our ground? But then at the same time, the members of the defense force are getting killed.
And we don't look very strong if we're losing soldiers. And as you said, M23 are gaining ground in the Goma area. That doesn't project an image of strength in itself.
Of course. And also, if you have a defense force that has a problem of ill discipline, has a problem of lack of resources, are we not setting ourselves up for failure?
Mm.
I just think that there should be indicators that are justifying why are we having a footprint there. But at the moment, I think we've been found wanting.
If diplomatic initiatives between President Ramaphosa and President Kagame of Rwanda are successful, will that bring everything to a close? Because there are many other players involved as well.
Yeah.
But is that where the solution lies, in your opinion?
If it was as simple as that, then the conflict would have ended long time ago. How many memorandums of understanding have been signed? Many, many, many. This rebel will be done away with. Another one will be formed the following day. Yeah, it's a conflict that is protracted. But I think action must be taken against certain members who are escalating that conflict. AU, now the problem is that AU is toothless. Again, AU doesn't want to take action against certain members because of, how liberation movements operate. They like to defend each other. That's why even South Africa doesn't want to call out President Kagame for the support that he is alleged to be giving to M23.
In closing, Dr. Breakfast, where do you see it going to from here? We've lost 13 soldiers in the last week. We can't just adopt an attitude of business as usual. Where do you see things going to from here?
Okay, I'm going to tell you my prediction. My view is that the conflict is going to escalate because it looks like the conflict has not de-escalated. Because if the conflict was de-escalated, then the M23 would have backed off. So you can see that they are penetrating throughout the length and the breadth of the DRC. The government of the DRC is not in charge of all the provinces. That's another problem. How can you be a government but you have no go areas? The DRC, in my opinion, is a failed state. That is an indicator of a failed state because you are failing as a state to provide security to your people. But on our end, I think the way out should be the executive institution. It must be held accountable by the legislative institution. You can't make decisions and then report to yourself. There's nothing of the sort in a democracy. So members of parliament, they mustn't do the same thing that they did during state capture and fold their arms and allow the executive to do as it please. They need to hold the executive institution accountable. They must summon the president or the minister of defense and demand accountability. I think by, especially now, I think it's not that difficult to do that because the ANC is no longer hegemonic. As you know, one party dominance is a thing of the past. So I think that's the only way out in terms of holding our government accountable. Because the question is, in whose interest are we there? In whose interest are we there? That's the $1 million question.
Doctor, thank you so much for your time. We're going to leave it there. Have a fantastic day. I really appreciate you always being available for these conversations when I ask you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, and all the best.
That was today's edition of Behind the Herald Headlines with Darren Mann.